Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We welcome you back, and really glad you're with us. And it's been an interesting show, a lot about the flag, and it just seems like it's a story that will not go away. Keith is up next. Keith from Texas. How are you, Keith?
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man? I'm a big fan of your show. Been listening to it for years. You are by far my favorite radio personality, man.
Thank you. I really hope
one day I get to meet you. I don't know if we can shake hands now. We might have to.
Listen, just don't tell Dr. Fauci, okay?
Okay, man. And I'm a nurse too, so I really don't want to shake your hand, honestly. But just to stay clean. But a couple things I wanted to talk to you about. I was listening earlier, and when you were talking to Tyler, the reporter, and I was really kind of a little surprised at how he kind of bounced around answering your question about what Mike Leach said. And I guess he covers Mississippi State and maybe doesn't want to put his job in jeopardy, but I mean, you had to prompt him a couple times, and still, by the end of the interview, he still didn't answer the question. And, you know, these sensitive times, I just thought that was interesting and intriguing.
By the way, I agree with you completely. I feel like Mike Leach got a pass there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I wanted to hear what he said. I was listening. I was like, okay, what did Mike Leach say? And he never said that. So, but anyway, the other thing I want to talk about, of course, is the flag. Being a black man, when I see that flag, it brings up some very uncomfortable feelings. I mentioned to some white friends of mine, I have friends of all races, but that when I see that flag, I'm never comfortable approaching the person who's flying it or has it on their vehicle or whatever it is. And I saw a recent picture label on the back of a vehicle that has basically half of an American flag and half of a Confederate flag, like, fused together. And I asked people, I was like, explain this to me. I'm not really sure what that means or what they were trying to portray. And one of my friends said something intriguing. One of my white friends said something intriguing and said that for a lot of people, it means they're from the South and they're proud of it, and that's what it represents. And my question to that is, how many black people do you know fly that Confederate flag to say it represents them being proud of being from the South? I'm from the South. I ain't never flew a Confederate flag. And when I see that flag, and from what I've learned from history, and when I say history, I mean high school and college, that flag represents a group of people who were so hell-bent on not giving up their slaves that they were willing to go to war and die for it. And when you have a state or people who are not willing to change it, it only points to one thing, and that they're still in favor of something like that. Now, I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but in our mind and the people that I know, that is what that flag represents and nothing else. I mean, nothing good at all comes to mind to any of my friends or people that I know that don't like seeing it. Is that, now, I don't know what kind of power the governor of Mississippi has as far as what he can do. I think that he should be able to say, until we have legislation to change the flag, we just won't fly this flag anywhere in the state. It can still be the state flag until they're able to change it legally. But why can't he just say?
Keith, you're 100% correct. To me, if the mayor, if the governor of Mississippi had a pair, he would take it down today and take the heat. I mean, and I'm really sorry. He just got elected. We had the governor on a month about a month ago. So he's 3 years away from being reelected. I mean, show some guts. Quit being a weasel. I mean, just go ahead and you know, take it down from the state capitol, and that's the only place it matters. And say, I'm not flying this until we resolve the issue.
Absolutely. I mean, at a time like this, with everything else that's going on in the world, I mean, how good would that make him look? I mean, he might even have a possibility of one for president. Who knows? If he made that kind of a decision right now, it should have been made decades ago, but right now is the perfect time, and he should absolutely do it. And I agree with you 100%. He does need to grow a beard.
Well, maybe we can buy him a pair on eBay.
I'll go half with you, Paul.
Okay, yeah, no, I'll cover it. Don't worry about it. They're cheap.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Paul.
Hey, thanks. Great to talk to you. Yeah, hope to meet you one day, too. Ronnie is up next in Mississippi. Hey, Ronnie.
Hey, Paul. How's it going, man?
We're doing great. Thank you.
No, I was listening to several calls, and a lot of the statements I was going to make has already been made. But now, you know, we didn't have a flag. I've lived in Alabama and Mississippi back and forth most of my adult life. I went to high school and elementary here in Mississippi. But we didn't have a flag until we voted on it back in April of 2001. We flew a flag, but it actually was not the Mississippi flag. We never had a flag until then. I heard the governor repeat that the other day, but he was real adamant during his run for governor that he would not make any decisions without the voters voting on anything, any decision, which that was before all of this had happened, that's happened lately. He was, like I said, he's been adamant about he's not going to do anything without the voters. I mean, he's had reporter after reporter ask him. He was doing a show every day during the 2 o'clock hour. I was flipping back and forth between your show and his, because of the COVID-19 thing. But, like I said, he was just adamant. And, I'm an alumni of University of Alabama. I got 2 kids at Southern Miss right now. We don't, as far as in this state, I heard Squirrels, I think it was Squirrel said it, the flag's not flown at any college in the state of Mississippi that I know of. I haven't seen it. So, I don't know, but as far as the flag coming down, I guess the governor could go back on his word. I guess he could. And take
sure,
it down.
Listen, you can do whatever you can, when you're the governor, you can do whatever you want.
Right. I heard y'all say in the last call, he may need a pair. I like the guy. He's a good guy. He's a firm guy, and seems to be a pretty good,
Yeah, by the way, I like him, too. I've met him, and we had him on recently, and I thought he was very impressive. I just happened to disagree with him on this, but that's okay. I've disagreed with politicians in the past. Mike is up next. Hey, Mike, great to have you on.
Hey, Paul. I'm from Jackson originally. I've been a Mississippi State fan since 1963, and I'm with your 2 previous callers. Reeves could Tate Reeves could clean this up before the end of the week. And it really irks me as a Mississippi native that an issue, yes, it's the flag, but it's a bigger issue. It's about going forward together to represent something really positive and a rejection of something that a large portion of that state finds repulsive. And I just wish he would step up to the plate and lead and take the people of Mississippi to a place they need to go. That's what leadership is. It's not about poll taking and playing Pontius Pilate and throwing it back to the people. I think Kylan Hill, I respect him. He has cornered that chicken. And I hope his wings are flapping like crazy right now. And also, I think the point about Mike Leach and Lane Kiffin need to step up also and put pressure on right now. Now's the time. Now is the moment. And for those guys to kick it down the street again is absolutely pitiful.
Yeah, I'm really I'm underwhelmed by Mike Leach because, if you listen to Tyler Horka a minute ago, it didn't sound like he really wanted to get into it. And he found out the state's largest newspaper was doing an article on his lack of comment, so he gave one. I mean, that's Journalism 101. And I didn't think he really said anything. He said, come out and say, I'm with you. I'll stand with you. But that's not who Mike Leach apparently is right now.
Well, I hope he is. As a Mississippi State fan, he better be.
Well, maybe he'll come out. Maybe he'll change his tune, but really glad to hear from you. Jerry is in Vegas. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, how you doing, man? That's my first time
great.
Ever listening to you guys. I kind of appreciate your conversation, and I'm going to start listening. I got some comments, but I just wanted to tell you, I didn't know you existed, and you sound good.
I'm glad you discovered us.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. And wanted to say that, you know, when I saw that guy stepping on his neck, and then I did some, you know, putting a knee in his neck, I'm going to be honest with you, I wanted to kill that cop. And I never want to ever, I love people. But my rage has changed so much. And I recall my grandparents would not regularly want to talk about it because we would sit down and they would always talk about the positive. They never would bring up the negative. Then when I went back to do my own studying, I asked my grandfather, I said, how come you didn't tell me about this? And, you know, the schools don't talk about it. He said, son, listen to me. When you come into this world, it's extremely difficult to avoid the jealousy, the pressure. I mean, he described everything. And he said, the best thing I could tell you is to get the best education and go work for yourself. And if you have children, turn them into the same way. And we did. We did those things. And he passed on. Before he passed, he started talking about it. And he said to me, you didn't have to go through what I went through. And it's going to get better for you. That's the reason we didn't talk about the negative portion of it. He said, I really, and I got his spirit from him because he loves people. I mean, I don't care who you are. He would bring them in, sit them down, don't even know them. And we've had some people that burned us, but he would say they'll get theirs back because you can't keep doing good and receiving bad. And when I started educating myself about what goes on in this country, actually all over the world, I didn't know it was, when I was a kid, I didn't know it was that much hatred. It blew me away. And when I saw that cop, and I started doing some homework on how policing started and all that other stuff, it blew me away, Paul. And I'll tell you something. I was determined to raise my children. My child now is in Congress, and my son is a doctor, and I have my business. Everybody that I'm around, we try to always talk the positive, all the time. I mean, even when things get bad, we're still talking positive. Why? Because that's how it's supposed to happen. Not the negative portion. But when I saw that guy kneeling down, begging, he was begging, I got as angry as the sun rises with all that sun coming out. So I wanted to hear the guy that spoke before the last guy. Very educated. I think he was in the medical field. I loved hearing him speak. He was so right. And some of your callers are. But I could still hear the hatred on this cotton-picking flag where they got defeated. It's like their spirits have come back in these people. It's crazy to me. And they don't want to change. It's like they want to die. They'll die with that flag. And it's crazy to me. Now I thank my grandparents and my parents not to talk to us about that, the bad part. Now I understood why they didn't do it.
I have to thank you. Jerry, thank you for sharing that. This is an amazing story. You be well, and let's continue this again soon. We'll take a break. Back with much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
There is some breaking news on the Bubba Wallace situation. The investigation, which was led by the feds, has revealed that no federal crime has been committed, that the rope, according to the United States attorney and the FBI in charge of the investigation, has been there since October 2019. Of course, some are reacting or will react, but it was NASCAR who put out the statement talking about how this person would be banned forever. Rick Harrell joining us. Rick, we've talked about NASCAR before. This story is literally just breaking. I don't even know where to start. Do you?
Yeah, I do. First, how are you? Everything's good.
We're good. Thank you.
Good. That's the way to start. Always the way to start. As long as we're safe and healthy, and that's the biggest issue right now. So the bottom line with NASCAR, remember, I worked with the France family for years doing all their racetrack expansion stuff beyond the Talladegas into Kansas City and Fontana and Dallas and Chicago. And it is consistent to me that the France family wants to do everything right. There's no racism in that family, regardless of what people say. If it's been sitting in that garage since 2019, the controversy is not going to be over whether NASCAR messed up because they should have known it's a year old. People ought to understand that everything is now reacting and coming from the heart. So they put out a really significant message, and let's assume it was because they found it sitting there 2 days ago, not a year ago. And then the drivers reacting, and the pit crews reacting, and Bubba Wallace reacting, and the Black Lives Matter stuff, and all the positives. So to me, the story is not how old the rope is. The story is how intensely NASCAR has reacted, and it's all good.
I understand what you're saying, but when they announced the story, they released it, and their statement just sent this thing into a nuclear meltdown. I'm wondering, Rick, you're a lawyer. I'm just a talk show host, but why do you think they went with it before they did an investigation, or were they concerned that it was going to look like they were trying to keep it under wraps?
Damn good talk show host, by the way. And the other thing about keeping it under wraps I think they wanted to get out. I don't know this. I mean, this may be wrong. My first instinct is they wanted to get the story out as soon as they possibly could to express their absolute displeasure. If you find something like that in a garage, the assumption is it hadn't been there for a long time. I know it's bad. If it's been around for a long time, people have seen it and didn't care too much about it. We'll have to see what those facts are. But then again, if they didn't hop on the story as quickly as they did, we wouldn't have had the tremendous outpouring we had yesterday.
No, I think in many ways it's all been good, except Talladega, the state of Alabama, NASCAR have all taken a lot of lumps. Now, did they turn the page? Yes, but it just, you know where this is going to go now. I mean, this has happened before, and it just seemed to me that as this story dragged on, something was not right, because if they had surveillance, they would have figured this thing out pretty quickly.
Yeah, no, I would yield to that point. I mean, I would say that if they found it out pretty quickly, it would be bad if they had sat on it or blown it out of proportion. I don't think that's the case. Maybe we'll find out some new information over the next couple of days. But the extreme takeaway is a terrible, terrible incident. But so was the death of George Floyd. And so what it's done is has motivated us like nothing before.
And what do you think, as somebody who has worked very closely with NASCAR, what do you think in the end this is going to mean?
Well, listen, NASCAR has become a global sport, even though it's really now gone from a sleepy Southeastern sport. As you were at the epicenter of the sleepy Southeastern. It's now, a friend of mine from HSBC, a World Bank institution. That's all we do is we kind of talk NASCAR these days. And it's taken kind of the world by storm as to how they've reacted to this. So, mainstream social responsibility means more awareness and vision for NASCAR. I would even take a small reduction in fans who are upset because they can't bring their damn Confederate flags to the race. In addition to this, I think net, it's going to be a good week for NASCAR, and we'll see that if we look back next month.
Okay, before you go, the rest of the sports, it looks like it's coming back. Every day is different. Where are we today?
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, now baseball is forced back. We still have 32 rotating bubbles that you got to deal with. You know, the hard part should have been the COVID and how to protect. Now the hard part is the economics and the perception of baseball. Obviously, we ask every week the college football, when does it come back? And now we're even talking about college basketball and what the issues are. Same thing with hockey. We know it's coming back. We don't know exactly when or where. Basketball, we got some bubbles. Today's the day where a lot of the teams decide who their rosters are because some people opt in, opt out. And we've had some great golf tournaments, and I don't even notice the fans. And I still think the idea of taking putts from 6 feet out because of social distancing is a great idea. You take 6 foot putts, Paul Feinbaum, you're going to shoot a 67.
I've been trying to. We need to play. I like somebody that will give you those 6 footers. Well, Rick, certainly it is crazy. I'm glad it seems like every time something is breaking, you are on the air, but we always appreciate your time.
See you next week.
You got it. Rick Harl joining us again, the breaking story out of NASCAR, the FBI releasing the statement that the noose incident with Bubba Wallace was a misunderstanding, no crime committed. The noose was already there as early as last year. The joint statement by the U.S. attorney and the FBI agent, special agent in charge, Johnny Sharp, said they discovered 15 special agents conducting the investigation, and the facts show that it was already there. A lot of reaction to that in the last couple of days. You heard Rick thinking it was still a good thing. We will take a break and come back and get your reaction.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Mike is up next in Baton Rouge, and good afternoon, Mike.
Paul, hey, got just a couple things real quick. And I'm going to preface it by saying I always, in my circle of people I run around with, try to be the devil's advocate kind of guy and look at every angle. At what point does a noose in a garage of a race car, why is that FBI worthy? I'm just curious.
Well, here's what you have to do in the Bubba Wallace case. You have to go back and what's the first time we heard about it? NASCAR released a statement, you know, talking about it's a heinous act and the person will be expurgated from NASCAR beyond the end of his life, two lives. And that's how the story began. And then everyone started raging and talking about, what it meant and how it was. And then, what we saw at Talladega yesterday. So NASCAR created the story.
Yeah, they did. And I just think that that's, I just think we have bigger fish to fry when it comes to FBI. That's neither here nor there. But
well, I agree. I mean, 15 FBI agents on the story. That's a lot.
Amazing taxpayer money that cost. Anyway, with this Hill kid, he's from Columbia, Mississippi. Is that right?
Correct.
I think he is. And what classification year is he? Is he a junior, a sophomore, a freshman?
I think this is his last year.
Okay, so he's been playing football in Mississippi for high school, junior high school, and college
most of his life, yes.
Okay, so just now he decides that he don't want to play football because of a flag. Keep in mind, I'm from Louisiana. I'm from a small town growing up, as redneck as they come. I don't own a flag, don't care about the flag. I just think it's kind of like the same thing with Gundy with this OAN deal. I didn't know what OAN stood for. The kid that, was crying about that was from Canada, of all places. Imagine the hypocrisy in that. I just wanted to say this. I'm going to hang up. You're talking about Tate Reeves. I don't vote Mississippi. I don't know. I don't know Tate Reeves. But I'm going to throw out a couple things. And this came from a very good friend of mine that I play golf with for the last several years. And he's African-American. And he told me the other day after we finished, we got to talking about it, Black Lives Matter, all this stuff. He said, I'm going to tell you guys something. He said, y'all are going to be shocked a little bit, or maybe you won't be. But he said, me as a black man, he's like, I'm embarrassed by what's going on in this country. I said, well, what are you talking about? And of course, everybody inches up on their seat to listen to him. And he says, there's so many other things in this country besides black blacks in our in our society getting mistreated by the cops. He said, for no other reason. He said, anytime, look at, and I did, this week in Chicago, 100 shot. A 3-year-old and a 14-year-old child killed. He said, this was Sunday we were talking about, and this was over the weekend. He said, do you think there'll be any marches for that 3-year-old and that 14-year-old? 78% of black children born in this country are out of wedlock. 80% of those never know a father figure. Maybe that's the reason why Tate Reeves and other people aren't chomping at the bit over a Confederate flag that nobody really cares about.
Hey, thanks for the call, Mike. We got an update now on the Bubba Wallace story. This is from NASCAR. Again, remember, NASCAR put out the initial statement that created this. NASCAR statement, the FBI has completed its investigation at Talladega Super Speedway and determined that Bubba Wallace was not the target of a hate crime. The FBI report concludes and photographic evidence confirms that the garage door pull rope fashioned like a noose had been positioned there since as early as last fall. This was obviously well before the 43 team's arrival and garage assignment. We appreciate the FBI's quick and thorough investigation and are thankful to learn that this was not an intentional racist act against Bubba. We remain steadfast in our commitment. Again, people are going to blame a lot of folks for this. Ultimately, blame NASCAR. I mean, this may be as dumb a mistake as I've ever seen. But that just shows you the fragility of that organization right now. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Charles is up next. Hey, Charles, go right ahead.
Good day, Paul.
Hey, good day to you. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Hey, I was born in Tennessee and have been in Alabama for maybe a year. I worked at a place in 30 years in Tennessee. And three of my best friends were black. Okay? You could ask them to help you out with anything, and I would reciprocate. My question is, you know, I mean, we got COVID and all this other stuff going on. My question is, if we do away with all the Confederate flags, which, you know, it doesn't bother me, and they won't do away with all the monuments, is this going to appease anybody and make things better in this country?
Well, it all depends on who you're going to ask, who you ask. I think ultimately this is a reaction, Charles, as you know. There is a cultural reawakening in this country, and I think people sometimes react to a moment in time where change results because of this when perhaps it wouldn't have previously.
Okay, well, I just want to say I'm 73 and I've been through a lot of stuff in the past.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that with us. Great to have you on. Let's continue with more calls. And
okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Shannon is up next in Georgia. Hey, Shannon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thanks.
Paul, I called yesterday and I told you that I thought all the media coverage on this noose in the garage was an attempt to divide the people and cause more racial isolation than harmony. And by gosh, if I don't just think that's what happened. It almost sickens me, Paul, to be quite honest. And you know, I read an article this morning that the SB viewership was down below 500,000 people for what's normally a pretty big turnout. I believe that professional sports are starting to push away their core audience. And stuff like this, it's what's doing it, Paul.
Well, I think you make a lot of sense. I really do.
I mean, I've become disenfranchised with the NFL. For different things that we won't even have to get into. Paul, everybody has a right to be heard, and everybody has a right to be treated fairly. and there's no place for racial hate in this world. I have no problem with them outlawing the flag at NASCAR events. And you and I have talked about this before. I understand that. But this thing was run with, and people were made to feel like hypocrites and racists just because of their ethnicity or their race. And there are some folks that work for ESPN that owe their viewers some apologies.
I hear you.
I mean, am I wrong, Paul?
No, you're not.
But will, and you know exactly who I'm talking about.
Of course I do.
Will those guys come here out and say, yes, you do, sir. And I want to say, by the way, I'll miss you on SEC Saturday mornings on SEC Nation. I did enjoy your contribution to the show. I know it may not have been your most comfortable environment at times. I know you had to go on Thursday.
I thoroughly enjoyed my 6 years on the show. Let me put it that way.
Yes, sir. But I'm just disgusted by this, Paul. And you know, I got on Twitter today and I said, hey, can we at least just see a picture of the news? Can we at least see footage? Can NASCAR at least address this to clear this up? Because how strong of an image of hate would that have been for someone from NASCAR to sit at a press conference with a valid noose that someone left in Bubba Wallace's garage and say, this is what hate crime looks like? What kind of a great image would that have been? In the minute they didn't capitalize on that, Paul?
There was something wrong. Not at the beginning. I mean, but this is how. If you study the media and you study overreactions, I mean, people were outraged before we knew anything about it. Hey, thanks for the call. They're alive. If you go back to the first time you heard about it or watched it on ESPN, there wasn't much opportunity to think clearly. The decision had already been made. Hey, thanks for the call. We're up against a break. Back with much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Manny is up next as we continue. Manny's in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Manny.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you. I called you a while back when we first closed the school down and sent the students online. I gave you some perspective.
I've never forgotten that call.
Well, thank you so much. Well, look, I wanted to add one little thing. I wanted to give you a brief literary quote bound to piss off everybody and a little global perspective on what's going on with us now. Literary quote is this. William Faulkner, as our topic goes today from the great state of Mississippi himself, said to be Southern is to be simultaneously proud and ashamed. And he meant it tongue-in-cheek, but then again, there's a lot of truth behind that. I'll let your callers make of that what they will. Somebody's bound to get pissed and call about it. Maybe Squirrel will. But anyway, from the global perspective, I just got back from overseas after being in 26 countries teaching. And I got back last year, came back home to my alma mater, and I'm teaching there now. And you would be shocked at how egregious the racism is across Asia, Latin America, and the Middle East.
Really?
I could give you stories, but... Yeah, you're literally paid, hired, and treated according to the shade of your skin. There's even a pecking order in Dubai according to your skin tone of what you're paid. It is amazing. And it is ingrained, it's expected, and it's never challenged. And it runs basically from the white Europeans and bottoms out at the Pakistani. And there's a level and a tier all the way down for every country member that lives there. But I say that in order to tell you this. Coming back home after having been over there and been the only person in Alabama teaching overseas, especially my subject, but anyway, having seen that, we've come back and I have been always sort of mocked and Forrest Gumped all over the world for being where I'm from and having my accent. But we finally have the chance to prove the world wrong and to actually be a leader and do something about the things which we should honestly be ashamed of from our past. If we're going to truly be proud, which we deserve to be, and I fiercely am, I love the South, but it's time to get over that shame and actually do something to fix it. So that's my two cents, Paul.
Are you back in Alabama?
Yes, sir, I am. I arrived back last fall, and I got on campus, and I'm here.
Okay, let me ask you a quick question here. What's going to happen here in a couple of weeks with school?
Well, we are all wondering that very thing. We check our mail and call amongst the faculty members every day. Nobody is getting word. So, mathematically and logically, I do not see how we can put 40,000 students and 5,000 faculty and staff in half a square mile and not have a, quote, cataclysmic event. But then if we don't, I mean, it's six one way, half dozen the other. The school is going to suffer miserably, as will all schools, with enrollment and income.
Yeah, I mean, the college football part of it is fairly easy when you consider how few people you're talking about, but the rest of it, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, be a statistician here or a data cruncher, but the numbers are pretty bad.
Yes, sir. They are. I just don't see all it takes is one sick student in a space that small, and we're going to wipe out the university and the whole city of Tuscaloosa, you know, and so it's going to be a cataclysmic event financially if we don't open back up, and it will be if we open up, everybody gets sick and we send them home, you know. So I would just hate to be our president and the members of our board right now.
Yeah, it seems like you have to try. I mean you have to try, but are we heading for an interesting 6 weeks? Were you going to teach this fall?
I am going to teach this fall,
okay.
And none of us even know our format, if we're going to split the students into smaller groups, if we're going to be a blend of online and in class. We have no idea. It's just being rumored right now.
Yeah. Well, you know why you don't know? Because do you think they have any idea what they're doing?
Well, we actually question that very thing, Paul. I think they're playing right here.
I bet they don't. Hey, listen, great to have you back, and stay in touch with us, okay?
I will. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Again, just when you think it can't get any crazier, the FBI has just announced that there will be no crimes, no charges, because the noose that was found in Bubba Wallace's garage at Talladega on Sunday afternoon had been there since October. We will take a break. We're going to check in on the upcoming college football season and talk to the mayor of Tuscaloosa, Alabama, on what the impact could be. You just heard the professor there. We are back after this.
Did you know GEICO's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to GEICO. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.